Good evening. Welcome to the 2025 Bethel City Council Candidates Forum. I'm KYUK's News Director, Sage Smiley. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's forum is presented by KYUK with support from listeners like you. We're broadcasting live from the Bethel City Council Chambers at City Hall. The Bethel Municipal Election is Tuesday, October 7th.
This year, there are three traditional candidates and one write-in candidate vying for four seats on the Bethel City Council.
Three of the seats are for two-year terms, and one of the seats is a one-year term. The top three vote-getters will secure two-year terms on Bethel City Council, while the fourth place vote-getter will get a one-year seat. Thank you to the candidates here tonight, and thank you to all of our listeners. The order of the candidates' statements and answers were determined earlier by random drawing. Our questions this evening came from journalists from the Bethel media, and joining us for this broadcast are KYUK News reporters Evan Erickson and Samantha Watson. Now, our candidates in alphabetical order are Teresa Keller, Kelsey Keim, and Mark Springer, as well as write-in candidate Greg Schiedler. To get us started tonight, each candidate will have 2 minutes for opening remarks. The first to give her statement will be Teresa Keller.
I knew you were going to pick me first. Good evening, and thank you for having me tonight. I'm currently on the City Council, and I'm running to keep my seat on City Council. I moved to Bethel in 2005.
Since then, I've started a family.
I started my own business. Well, I took over the business I was part of, but grew it since then. Because I have roots here, because I'm raising a family here, because this is my home, the most direct way for me that I can give back and serve my community is being on council. And so that's why I want to rerun again. I feel like I want to be present in the decision making for Bethel and where it's going in the future. So thank you for having me.
Thank you, Teresa. Next candidate to give his opening statement is Mark Springer.
Thanks, Sage. Waka winga Mark Springer awa. Kuiana, everybody, for inviting us into your homes this evening. I'm running for re-election as City Council, where I've served the Bethel community and you for a number of years. I think I first ran when we were trying to get the swimming pool approved. And since then, we've had a lot of good things happen here in Bethel. I've been privileged to serve as the mayor of Bethel for two terms. My family and I have lived in Bethel for nearly 25 years, and in my wife Juliana's hometown of Hooper Bay for about 20 years before that. I work over at YKHC in the recovery space. I find it really rewarding, just another way to, contribute to the community and to the region. I've had the opportunity to work for a number of communities out here over the years, as well as working here in Bethel. So I guess that's all I got to say for right now. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Now we'll hear from Greg Schiedler.
Thanks to KYUK for this opportunity. I've been a proud homeowner and resident of Bethel since November of 2008. That's 17 years in about 30 days. I hold a Bachelor of Science degree in Computer Systems Engineering and bring a diverse background and experience that would be a valuable asset to City Council. Growing up on a large independent chicken farm in Oregon, I developed a strong work ethic. Later on, successfully operated a rental business and a fleet of cars, trucks, limousines, and RVs. Over the years, I've gained experience across multiple industries, including electronics, plumbing, vehicle maintenance, farming, processing equipment, distribution, payroll, cash flow management, banking, and budgeting. This broad skill set equips me to approach city issues with a practical, hands-on perspective. Currently, I serve as the data center manager for LKSD, where I manage back-end servers, data storage, and wireless bridges to support our staff and students.
Thank you very much, Greg. Lastly, Kelsey Keim.
Good evening, everyone.
My name's Kelsey, in case you didn't catch that, and I'm actually really excited to be here. I decided to run for Bethel City Council because while Bethel has these really incredible strengths, like its resilience, its super creative minds, and genuine people who really care deeply about one another, I also believe in like building on those strengths in a community. For me, this means fostering transparency, making sure that our community and people feel heard and listened to, and focusing on growth that supports families, the youth in the community, and the culture that makes Bethel unique. Even though I've been here for a short 14 and some change months, I actually see this as a strength. I might be able to afford a pretty fresh perspective and a lot of good energy and enthusiasm for the future. And I'd be honored to listen, learn, and work alongside each of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelsey. Now we'll turn to our panel of journalists. During this first round, candidates will have 1 minute to respond to each question. Kelsey will be the first person to answer the first question, which will be asked by Evan Erickson of KYUK News.
Yeah, so what is your top priority if you're elected to city council?
Right now, because of my position with other committees and commissions and my awareness of, you know, not many youth in the community being involved, I think I'd like to focus on finding a way to encourage, you know, their involvement with the community and our local government.
Greg, same question.
As I said in my radio interview, I'm primarily would like to focus on continuity of services for our fire, our safety, City Hall, trying to see if we can get a longer term stability, and we have a fire chief for more than 6 months, a police chief for more than 6 months, and the administration that has gained some institutional knowledge back.
Teresa.
Thank you. I think those are great ideas. I really agree with what Kelsey said about having the kids, you know, a positive place to go and kind of hang out and stay safe and do things that, you know, don't ultimately lead to defacing property, for example. But the other thing I'd like to see is, besides the community outreach, would be our better roads. I think we're leaning towards that. I think we're working towards that. I know our city manager is working really hard. There's great ideas out there, and there are plans. It's just, you know, bringing them to fruition, and I think we're on the right track. So, but I think that's the biggest thing for our community here right now, is just getting our roads to where they're safe for everyone. Thank you.
Thanks. Mark?
Yeah, thank you. I think public safety is kind of top of mind for everybody in the community. We know we have some serious problems with opioids, sale and use, and the destruction that those cause. We have two establishments that are selling alcohol that, you know, may or may not be having an impact on people's lives. And we know that we've had an awful lot of turnover and issues with our police department. We've got to get some stability, and we've got to get police officers who live here in Bethel. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question will be asked by Samantha Watson of KYUK, and Mark will be first to answer.
How can Bethel better recruit people to fill city positions, including public safety director? What kind of candidate do you want to see hired into those positions?
Well, you know, part of our problem is housing. Another part of the problem, not as great a one necessarily, is competitive salaries. When it comes to hiring public safety officials, whether it's, you know, chief of police, chief of public safety, or a patrol officer, we've historically found ourselves in competition with similar sized communities in Alaska, some that are a little bit bigger, So it's housing and salaries, but you've also got to keep in mind the work environment, and being a police officer in Bethel can be a tough job, but it doesn't do anybody any good when those police officers are here for 2 weeks and they're catching a plane and going home for 2 weeks.
Kelsey will be next to answer this question.
I can see where Mark's coming from with that, and I agree mostly. I think, yeah, housing can have an impact on getting people in and maintaining them here. But I think there could be some more positive, I'm not saying that there's any negative, first of all, engagement with these people before they move to Bethel, but really painting Bethel in the best light ahead of time and then setting expectations. Somebody
who's totally engaged with the community, showing up for events, especially when it comes to the involvement with kids in those events in a positive way, not somebody who just stands kind of in the background holding on to their best.
Totally. Greg, thank you.
As Mark mentioned, that housing is a big deal here, and we do have housing coming on. I think potentially we're sending out headhunters to look everywhere and anywhere, and we should focus more towards regionally and in the Delta, and give our candidates a expectation that, you know, Bethel is a smaller community. If you're coming from a larger community, I've always considered Bethel as like an island surrounded by land. You can't get everything here.
Thank you. Teresa?
Thanks. I agree with pretty much what everybody said so far. I mean, I know that housing is a huge deal out here. Finding decent housing is huge. But if you're moving here with family, having recreation, having your city appeal to you, having it nice and cleaned up, and having opportunities out there for your family to engage in the events and engage in the community is huge. And I think once we could get our community or get more community outreach, do more things with our community, have more events like the tree lighting ceremony. I think it's such a great idea to bring that back and do a lot of these fun things to really get our community engaged. I think when they start seeing that, when they look up Bethel, they start seeing all these positive things instead of all the negative things. I think that's really gonna help push them in the direction that says, yeah, there are some negative things, but look at the community. The community is together. And I think that's a huge thing that's really gonna help put us on the map and make us more favorable to other people.
Thank you. Our next question will be asked by Evan Erickson, and Greg Schiedler will respond first.
Yeah, I'll put this in context. We have two incumbents of four candidates here, and Greg, you're running for your first time on the council. So the question is, what should the current Bethel City Council have done better?
Talk about a question. I'm not aware of anything that I've disagreed that the council has done that I was opposed to. I think they've been doing a good job. It's just we need to try to continue down the path and be cohesive and work together as a team. And that's what it's going to take with almost any organization.
Teresa.
Thanks. So when I first started on council, we were kind of in limbo with city managers. We had a lot of people, interim city managers. And, you know, it really makes it harder for us as a council to work cohesively together if we don't have a really great team and administration for that. So I think, I don't want to say we could have done that better necessarily, because you can only take your pick from what's given to you, right? But I think that going forward, I think that's what we can do better, is because we do have a great city manager and we do have great people in the city right now that I'm really excited to, if I'm, you know, continuing, and there's only four seats, but four people. But with that being said, I'm really excited to see where that takes us, having, you know, a good foundation going forward. So thanks.
Mark?
In all the years I've served on the city council, I've never really said, why did we do that? There have been, you know, the occasional decisions that I haven't necessarily agreed with, but they weren't anything particularly earth-shattering or you know, really affecting the community as a whole. I think that the city council has done a good job over the years, and I hope that we will continue down that path.
Kelsey.
I'm almost scared to answer this question. I say everything with love, okay? No, I think just from my outside perspective, I think that there could have been more. First, they I think they're doing great, but there could have been more encouragement for community members to attend meetings, perhaps by, you know, talking to their neighbors, coworkers. I'm not saying that didn't happen, but being more persistent and kind of annoying about it. And then also promoting the how serious these positions are with each other, with our, you know, community members and our committee and commission members.
Thank you. Next question from Samantha Watson will be answered first by Teresa.
How should Bethel adjust its budget to handle its most pressing problems?
I mean, that's a great question, Samantha. Thank you for that. So I guess that depends on what you think your most pressing problem is, but I think long-term goals, I think, again, we should really focus on getting our roads, because that's creating issues down the line. I mean, it's a trickle effect. So you have, you know, these roads that are almost undrivable, and then you can't get your vehicle, your equipment or your vehicles on them to service the city, or they break, and then you're then paying money to get new ones sent out here or spending more money to get them fixed. I mean, you know, it's just roads, but that all has a huge part in the rest of our in the rest of what the city provides to Bethel. So that I think should be our number one focus. And I don't know how. I mean, you know, I know that our current administration is working on ways to get funding for a lot of these things. And I think, again, I think that they're doing what they can with what they're given right now. But I think there's a future there and there's hope.
Greg.
Best that I could do on something like this is I generally go with the mindset of you've got to be kind of impartial, and you have to look at what is best for the community on an individual case basis. And you're here to kind of help steer the ship per se, and that you can't do it potentially what your own personal beliefs might be. They might influence you to at some point, but you have to do what's best for the community.
Kelsey?
I think at this point, based off of, you know, all of the same kind of complaints about the roads, that would likely be the most pressing issue for the community. And I think adjusting the budget to focus on longevity as opposed to a quick Band-Aid fix now could be pretty beneficial for everybody.
Mark.
So we really have two budgets. We have the operating budget, which is personnel and, you know, vehicles and buildings. And then we have the capital budget, which is where where projects come through. So we try to write the capital budget to meet at least emergent needs in the community. You know, we make sure we got, you know, graders that are up to snuff and you know, enough water trucks and sewer trucks. So that's where the capital budget is, where we would put the money to meet, you know, community needs. Now, you know, for public safety needs, that would come out of operating, because that's where we, you know, pay police officers and the city manager and the water truck drivers. But I think that what you're talking about, your question, should be kind of focused on the capital budget.
Thank you. We're about halfway through this first round of questions. Thank you all for your answers so far. Our next question asked by Evan Erickson will be first answered by Greg.
Yeah, how can the Bethel City Council better collaborate with our local tribal government, the Rootjaramute Native Council, which I just butchered the pronunciation of?
Well, I mean, the city council is an open door. I mean, you know, I don't know how much that as a council member per se that I'm, you know, have to directly invite them, but the community in the whole as tribal members and organizations would also be, you know, fully welcome in any council meeting. As far as I'm concerned, they're part of the community, just as the, you know, voting public is.
Teresa.
Thank you. I think we should, send emails, reach out to them, maybe do a visit with them, and annoyingly insist and persist to get them more involved. And because I think that the collaboration with what matters in our community is huge. And I think that the tribal councils out here are integral in that, because they are the ones that are representing Bethel. This is the local tribe, and I think they should have a really big voice in what we do and the directions that we go or towards. So we just knock on their doors, I guess.
Kelsey.
I think similar to how KYUK is involved in most of the public meetings, having somebody there either virtually or in person, encouraging these tribal council members to have at least one representative from those council members to be present, or encouraging them to be involved in some capacity, could also help in, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So I agree.
Like one representative to come
every time. You know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Thank you.
So the city and the city council in particular have a good collaborative relationship with ONC. It was just reported to us by Lori that the ONC council voted to do an application to the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium for some energy study here, kind of on behalf of the city. In the past, they've had ANTHC come in and do some energy audits in our water plants. The Pinkies Park boardwalk lighting is a joint effort between ONC and the city. There's BIA transportation funds that count all of our roads as part of their mileage, so they use some of that in the city. And we do have regular joint meetings with ONC. Either they invite us or we invite them, but those happen on a regular basis. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question from Samantha Watson will be first answered by Kelsey.
Yeah, so what would you change anything about the way alcohol, marijuana, and tobacco are managed by the city?
That is a great question. I think that there's a lot of stigma when it comes to substances. To a degree, I think that the city should be involved, perhaps, but in the way, not so much as like regulation, but at least finding some way to bring in revenue to the city in that capacity, if that makes sense. Thank you.
Greg?
It's my understanding, and I may be wrong, that the alcohol regulation for Bethel, it was alcohol with food, but I've never, any time I've ever been in any of the two establishments here, it's like, what do you want to drink? And there's never been asked, oh, by the way, you need to have some food too. Potentially, let's follow up and hold them to the regulations. You're not a bar.
Mark.
Yeah, no, Greg's exactly right. You know, the city doesn't manage the sale of alcohol or marijuana, but we do have a pretty good amount to say to the Marijuana Control Board and the Alcohol Licensing Board when the time comes for a license renewal. And the council always has the opportunity to object to a license renewal.
And
quite honestly, it would surprise me if the next time some licenses come up for renewal, that there'll be a little bit more detailed conversation at the council level than was had the last time. Thanks.
Teresa.
Thank you. I don't have much to say about the current rules governing the marijuana and the alcohol in this restaurant. I will comment, though, that every time I've gone to a local establishment that does sell alcohol and food, I've always been asked, here's your menu, would you like something to eat, and what do you want to drink? Usually, as per any restaurant, when you go in there, they want to know what your drinks are first, not what you want first. So I don't see a problem with them. I don't see a problem with somebody wanting to go over there and throw back a couple of beers and not eat. I mean, as far as I know, the rules are 50-50. You can't have 51.3 and then vice versa or the other side, or 51 and 49. It has to be 50-50. You can't have one more than the other. So I don't think that would change anything. I would maybe suggest that we look at the establishments and see really how they're operating, because if they're only open between the hours of 4 and 10, for example, you might be presenting a problem, because that doesn't say I'm a restaurant. That says I'm only open during the hours, the witching hours almost. You get out of work and you go and you hang out. It doesn't say bring your family here.
Our next question from Evan Erickson will be first answered by Mark.
Yeah, how can the city plan for a growing demand of services with the YKHC expansion and other even larger stuff way down the road like Donlin Gold?
Well, I mean, as far as YK facilities go, I expect that their engineers talk to our engineers as far as, you know, water and sewer demand. For some of the buildings that they are putting up, I haven't heard that there are any problems expected. It is part of the development of the institutional corridor, which will run water and sewer line kind of in a spine from the city sub water plant out of the highway. So I think that planning is going okay, and as far as, you know, impact from Donlin Mine, you know, it would be us as transportation hub more than really anything else. And we do own the port, but there are also, you know, have been moves in the private sector to do port development for the mine.
Teresa?
I don't even know.
Can you repeat that question for me?
Yeah, how can the city plan for a growing demand of services with the YKHC expansion and with other large-scale projects, potentially Donlin down the road?
Oh, I mean, you know, best guess, I guess, is my best guess. I know that with anything, you know, you have to have the services available. So I don't know what our plans are when it comes to making water easily more accessible than it is right now, upgrading the current services, extending our running water. You know, that's definitely a huge part of it, and having the capacity to just handle all the changes, I guess.
Thank you.
And can I clarify that services is more in general, not just utilities?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know, though. It's a great question. Appreciate that.
Greg?
I don't know.
Well, as I recall, AVEC replaced their main transformers 2 years ago prior to bringing the new hospital online. So I'm assuming that that was all previously scoped out and that capacity is there on the electrical side. And the water sewer is not on hauls, so it's gallons in and gallons out, so it's not a, you know, hauled system. And I don't think that YK is going to have a whole lot of calls for police, fire. So I think we should be okay.
Kelsey.
These all sound like really great answers, but my understanding for the dynamics of the city at this point when it comes to that question are not quite up to par yet, so I do not know the answer.
Thank you. That concludes our time for the longer form questions. Thank you for participating in this first round of panelist questions. We'll be taking a 2-minute break and then resume the Bethel City Council candidate forum with the candidates asking questions to each other. Thank you for listening to KYUK 640 AM. Stay with us.
We are back with the 2025 Bethel City Council Candidate Forum. I'm Sage Smiley. The candidates will now ask questions of each other. Each candidate has 20 seconds to ask a question, and the other candidates will have 30 seconds to respond. The candidate will also be able to answer their own question if they wish. First candidate question will come from Teresa Keller.
One of those kids that don't prepare. All right, so I think it's interesting to know the communication style for everyone because we're going to be working closely together, and how you deal with criticism, I think, is important. So that would be my question. What's your communication style and how do you deal with criticism?
Greg will be the first to answer this question.
I've got a thick skin, and as long as it's honest and is not in a mean spirit, I'm very open to, let's discuss it. I'm an engineer. I like to know all the facts. I don't know so much. I'm more on the facts versus the touchy-feely side of it. So ask me away.
Thank you. Mark?
Talk slow sometimes. I jokes. I talk fast and a lot. But I think I've been pretty effective on the council, you know, during meetings over these years. You know, sometimes I try to draw out what other people are talking about for the benefit of the rest of the council and for the listening audience.
Thank you. Kelsey?
excuse me. My communication style is pretty open and direct. I know that some people can get a little frustrated because I like to afford every possible perspective that there is. But when it comes to handling criticisms, I'm actually very similar to Greg. I like to know all of the facts, and that allows me to kind of have that perspective. And as long as it's constructive, I think I'm pretty great at handling criticism.
Thanks. Teresa, your own question?
Same. I was just curious, you know, just because people take things a certain way and sometimes it can get, I haven't seen it get too heated here, but every now and then there's some comments that I feel like are directed towards another council member and, you know, it could kind of derail the way everybody's feeling in there. So I was just curious on how that would go. But for myself, I don't take a lot of things personally, kind of water off the duck's back, and I'm respectful, I think, of all the council members. So. And their ideas, even if I agree or disagree.
Next, thank you. Next candidate question from Greg Schiedler.
I guess I would like to know what each candidate would specifically like to do. Everyone seems to be up on roads. What specifically do you think should be done?
Kelsey will be the first to answer this question.
I love that question. Direct and straight to the point, Greg. I am actually really interested in finding a way to get the youth involved in things that we do in city council, the committees, commissions, and further involved in the community.
Teresa?
I would agree with that. With four kids, we're constantly on the boardwalk. I'm constantly messaging people in the city about missing planks on the boardwalk. It's dangerous, but it's such an important way for everybody to get around, especially connecting these two areas of town. My kids are on the boardwalk all the time. They're at Pinky's Park. They're at all the parks. And I think that seeing more engagement in youth and giving them places to do anything, fun things for them and get together with their peers is really important.
Mark?
You said roads, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, I thought that was just like an example.
So the city does, I live out in Kasaili, so I know what roads can be like when they go to heck. And, you know, my grandkids live out in Weavik, so I know what Tarma can be like. But, you know, if I could wave a magic wand and have one thing done to roads in Bethel, it would be for the doggone DOT to get some decent, long-lasting road striping on Eddie Chopin Highway.
Thank you. Greg, your own question?
I don't know if this is under the city purview or whatever, but potentially, I live in Kasaili, and it's pretty wicked up to the garbage can, and then there's a corner, but that whole section of road is 25 miles an hour, and unless the conditions don't call for that speed, I think you could do 40, potentially all the way to the McCann Treatment Center.
Faster roads. Thank you. Mark will be the next to ask a candidate question.
Sure, thanks. And I kind of was thinking about Teresa on this question. As a successful businesswoman in Bethel, you know, Bethel, 6,000 people, were the hub of 56 communities. What's your vision for increased economic development here in Bethel?
I think that's a hard one, because unless it's an online thing or you can be the lucky one to find a storefront, I just don't think it's a feasible thing for many people, especially you want to open up a small store. I mean, what's your income going to be in the first year? What's your setbacks? And then what's your rent going to be? So unless we're sponsoring some sort of, strip mall, a tiny strip mall for people to actually go into business here, it's all going to be online type of services. I mean, if we want to really foster more revenue in the city with a local shopping, that's what we need.
Mark, are you wanting to ask the same question to Kelsey and Greg, or a different one?
I'm just kind of interested how the candidates would think about economic growth for our community. Sure.
All right. Kelsey, what are your thoughts?
I have a similar viewpoint to Teresa, just because, as she mentioned, there's a lot of overhead that kind of comes along with having a business in Bethel. If you're talking about just the economic development just in general, I know I'm going to get a lot of pushback on this, but I think that implementing, at least for property owners who do not actively live in Bethel, some sort of tax. People who are renting. Oh, sorry. Okay. That's a terrible cutoff.
You can finish your sentence. That's okay.
Okay. So implementing some sort of tax for people who don't actively live in Bethel, but are essentially siphoning money out of the community. That's all.
Greg?
Business development in Bethel. How about, let's see if we can get Amazon Prime to charter a jet in once a month that we can all get all the stuff we need that they won't ship.
All right.
I'm back.
Mark, would you like to answer your own question?
It's something that I've always thought about. The city does own some property that actually could be used for commercial development. We have kind of half developed buildings in town that don't necessarily have any tenants in them right now. I mean, Bethel needs a bookstore, needs a couple of new restaurants. There's quite a few things that the community can use that will maybe make some more competition in some sectors and help everybody out.
Thank you. Last question to ask a last candidate to ask a question, Kelsey Keim.
How do you, if at all, think that we could encourage youths to participate in the growth of the city and the future of Bethel?
Teresa, first to answer this one.
How can you encourage them? You make it enticing for them. You dangle something in front of them. Kids want to be rewarded with things. That's just the way they are. You know, that's, and I'm not saying it has to be something huge, but just knowing that, you know, if they win a bike, like we did the cleanup green up before, and that was really fun. A lot of kids participated in that because there was the possibility, the potential of winning something. And yeah, they want to help, but it's also even cooler as a kid to do something and possibly win something. So I think incentivizing things is great for kids.
Mark?
Well, you know, when you say young people, are we talking about, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds? Well, they come to city council meetings sometimes, to show off of a sports team or to get some recognition. We don't have a lot of civic engagement for young people, but as far as keeping them here in Bethel, we've got to have opportunities for them.
Greg?
Well, being that I work for LKSD, I think the biggest thing is to encourage an education. And with an education as a base, you can apply yourself and do lots of other things. I'm reminded of my sister that went to work for a company, and as long as you had a master's in any field, they would give you a job interview because they figured with a master's, they can teach you what you don't know.
Kelsey, your own question.
I think those are great answers. I think I was looking for, you kind of touched on it a little bit, like civic engagement. I had ideas of kind of partnering with the school and perhaps creating a program that encourages students to come to these meetings, perhaps maybe for extra credit or having reports or you know, discussions in the classroom about what they heard or think about the meetings, the public meetings, city council, committees and commissions, kind of what they thought and their ideas for the city.
Thank you. That concludes our candidates' questions. We'll now move on to the lightning round. In this round, our panelists will continue asking questions, but this time candidates have 30 seconds to answer. Our first question will be asked by Evan Erickson, and Teresa Keller will be the first to answer.
Yes, if someone from outside said they believe Bethel is a dangerous place, would you push back on that? And if so, how?
I mean, if somebody from Bethel said it was a dangerous place, but they're not currently in Bethel, no, I'm not going to. That's an uphill battle for me.
Oh, no, I meant from outside, someone
right.
Who's not.
So, like, somebody, like, explain outside, though, for clarification.
Someone
like,
who's not
on the internet who's just typing stuff, or like, what do you mean outside?
Like a potential candidate for a city position who's considering Bethel, someone who doesn't know anything about Bethel.
Well, of course. Well, in that case, yeah, if it's a candidate looking to move to Bethel and they said it's a dangerous place, I would definitely get involved with that. I would encourage them to come over and spend a couple of weeks here to really see it and get involved in the local community. I mean, we don't have the amount of great people we have in this town because it's dangerous.
Mark?
Well, we did have a former chief of police who said that he'd never seen as much violence in a community as he did in Bethel, you know, in the evenings. There are, like any other community in Alaska or in the country, yeah, there's places you don't want to be sometimes and situations you don't want to be in sometimes. But as a general rule, I would say Bethel is a pretty safe place.
Greg?
Well, I happen to live in the gated community of Kasaili, so, but I would say Bethel is a safe place for the most part. I lived in Bethel for 2.5 years without a front door key or a lock, and the key to the Jeep was in the ashtray, and it stayed there for 2.5 years.
Kelsey?
I would actually try to highlight the really great things about Bethel. It's really, really easy to feel like things are bigger than they are. I was a little bit nervous myself when I first moved here, but when you put it in perspective of, you know, these sort of incidents happening in a bigger city, it just feels more in your face, if you will, in Bethel, because Bethel is such a small, tight-knit community. And actually, I think most of the violence or the danger in this community is not on strangers. So I think that that's an important thing to highlight as well.
Our next question from Samantha Watson will be answered first by Mark Springer.
Yeah, so, you know, in a speed round fashion, how can Bethel improve its environmental impact?
Well, we have once again outlawed plastic trash bags. We do have a pretty intensive management of our landfill and our sewer lagoon. And we're working with ONC to try to clean up the barges that are in Steamboat Slough, which are, you know, a physical hazard at the very least, not just an environmental one. So it's just, I think that, you know, the council and, again, this is talking about the local environment, ONC, I think that we all have pretty good awareness.
Thank you. Kelsey?
I think when it comes to our environmental impact, I think education is incredibly important. We want our community to stay informed on how they can make an impact positively on our
our world here, and then also encouraging the practice once they have that sort of education and information.
Thank you. Greg?
That I know of, I mean, for example, I mean, the landfill is recovering the refrigerants from refrigerators and freezers, and there are programs out, and LKSD does it almost every year for the e-waste recycling, and it's shipped out to a responsible outfit in Seattle so that it's properly, you know, taken apart and recycled.
Kelsey, sorry, Teresa.
Thank you. I agree with what everybody said so far. I think us banning the plastic bags is a great start. I do anticipate probably seeing a lot more trash, though, just because a lot of people don't actually fit their trash inside the dumpster, and it's a lot easier for paper bags and other things to disintegrate outside the trash cans. But I think that's huge, and I think doing some more events like community cleanup, the freeze-up cleanup is huge, too. I mean, if you walk through the parks, Pinky's Park, you go through any park, there's trash. It's littering the whole area. So I think having more trash cans maybe and emptying those out more frequently is also probably key to keeping the parks cleaner.
Next question asked by Evan Erickson will be answered by Kelsey first.
What was the most important topic being discussed at a recent city council meeting in your opinion?
I think it was actually, I know this was actually maybe a month or so ago, was the opportunity that our former police chief had, our Department of Public Safety had suggested bringing On Patrol Live, a live police show here. I think that having such a potential negative impact on the community and honestly seeing that many people show up to the city council meeting kind of all on, you know, the same wavelength and agreeing that that would be a terrible, terrible thing to come to Bethel was pretty impactful.
Teresa.
On Patrol Live was definitely something that I think was probably the most people that we've had show up here to really speak out against it. Cause it just showed, I think it showed also like where our community felt the relationship they had with our current police force. And I think we need to bridge that. And I think that was a clear indication of what they didn't want to see. I agree with Kelsey.
Mark.
I think one of the most important things we talked about and took action on was starting to pay our own way to have city council meetings broadcast on KYUK.
Greg.
No, I guess the truth be known, my last city council was when I applied to run for a vacancy in which I ended up pulling the short straw. So I'm now taking that full circle, and I'm now a candidate with a certified write-in.
All right. We have time for one or two more questions. This next question asked by Samantha Watson will first be answered by Teresa Keller.
Do you think it's appropriate for City Council to have a position on the proposed Donlin Gold mine?
I think it is appropriate. I think the city should work with the local tribal government on that because they have a vested interest. We all do, but they put a lot of effort into going to all the meetings and learning about the potential outcomes of having Donlin Mine and what it does to the community and our fish. So I think it is appropriate for us to have a stand on that.
Mark.
Yeah, I do. Donlin Mine, if it's developed, the Donlin Prospect, if it's developed, will have a real significant impact on the community and on the region, on the lower river. And I think that people would expect us to take position on it.
Kelsey.
I think if it has any impact on our community and its members, I think City Council definitely has a seat at the table or should. Thank you.
Greg.
I have mixed feelings on this one. I'm just trying to wrap my head around how the city could project status onto a project that's not within the city. Collaboration, yes. A mutual understanding, but like saying we have to have a board member or something, I can't see happening.
All right, our final lightning round question asked by Evan Erickson will first be answered by Mark Springer.
All right, you guys are going to hate me for asking this, and especially in the lightning format, but what is the best decision and what is the worst decision the council has made in the past year?
Gee whiz. In the past year, I think the best decision was putting the kibosh on that dumb TV show. I think that was the best decision we made. And boy, I honestly can't think of any decision that we made in the last year that gave me any heartburn.
Teresa.
I'm going to have to second best decision would be putting the kibosh on Patrol Live. The other thing is, you know, our plastic bags are a huge thing. I think it's a great thing that we are bringing that back and enforcing it more. And the worst, I guess, I mean, I don't know if it was in the last year. I can't really remember. It all kind of blurs together. But maybe the hiring of a couple of our department heads may have been not that great of a choice considering.
Kelsey.
I'm going to third on that. What did they say? Kiboshing of the On Patrol Live. I think that I will hesitantly second Teresa's comment on the decisions made to hire some directors of departments.
Greg.
Well, I'll be unanimous on the live police show. And I've been going on this continuity of things here is potentially whoever our headhunter firm is potentially needs a little groundwork change a little bit, what we're looking for, potentially focus in a little closer to town.
Thank you. That concludes the question and answer section of this forum. Each candidate will now have 1 minute to make a closing statement. Greg Schiedler will be the first to deliver a closing statement.
Oh, the joy of a closing statement. I don't really have much of a closing statement. The only thing I have to really say is I'm not on the ballot in a written format. So if you would like to vote for me, you're going to have to scroll Greg Schiedler and fill in the little write-in candidate. And I thank you all for having me on the forum.
Thank you very much. Teresa Keller.
Closing statement, you know, I wasn't really prepared for this one. I thought I would just wing it. So what I would like to start with is that after the first 2 years, I mean, it's coming up in my first 2 years, but it's all kind of a whirl when you're trying to get the hang of things and what everything means and how to, you know, really be a part of the city and how you could really join in as the city council, because everything is kind of, it's all very confusing. So I'm hoping and I'm honored to hopefully serve another 2 years just because I feel like I have a little bit more experience under my belt. And, you know, I definitely want to represent the city, and I appreciate everybody that, you know, were to come out and vote for me. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Kelsey Keim.
I would just like to say I'm so happy that this happened. I think that it offered me an opportunity to learn more about my fellow candidates and, you know, the city really as a whole. I did learn a lot. So I thank everybody for them being here. I'll just kind of reiterate what I said when I got in here. I do believe that Bethel has these incredible strengths. And I think that as a community, we can continue to build on those strengths together, you know, focusing on the things that really matter, like the families here, the youth, because they are the future, and continuing to encourage and uplift the culture that is of Bethel and is Bethel. That makes it so unique. So thank you, everybody, for having me today.
Thank you. Finally, Mark Springer.
Thanks. First of all, let me thank KYUK for putting this on, and especially Matthew Quickdraw Hunter over there with the timekeeping cards. And the breathing begins to stop. If hearing this evening was helpful to you as a voter in Bethel, please consider donating to KYUK's fundraiser that's going on this week. Don't forget to vote on Tuesday. You can early vote here, but both Bethel precincts are going to be over at the Cultural Center. You can ask them for a piece of paper that'll tell you how to spell Greg's last name, but you got to ask for it. I'm Mark Springer. I'm running for re-election, and I'd certainly appreciate your vote again. Thanks.
Thank you very much. We've come to the end of our 2025 Bethel City Council Candidates Forum. Thank you to our candidates for joining us. Thank you to our listeners, our panelists, and those who sent in questions. Thanks to the City of Bethel and the Delta Discovery for their help. This forum will rebroadcast tomorrow, Friday, October 4th at 8 o'clock p.m. A Yupik language translation of the forum will air on Monday, October 6th at 1 o'clock p.m. and 8:30 p.m. You can find all of this at kyuk.org, as well as individual interviews with each of the candidates, which aired previously on Coffee at KYUK. You can also find other elections coverage under the Elections 2025 tag at kyuk.org. This candidate forum was produced by KYUK, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KYUK's board of directors, management, or staff. We hope this forum helps you make your decision in this municipal election on Tuesday, October 7th. I'm Sage Smiley. Thank you for listening, and have a good night.